Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Empire.
Triple Play Fantasy Baseball Show with D. Mindy, Lil Cheesecake, and Doc starts now.
We welcome in a man who I think of as Pepto-Bismol because he provided relief. This pitcher won 35 games, had 469 strikeouts and 3 saves over his 10-year career with 4 organizations, although he played a total of 19 seasons. He also had some experience in the coaching realm as he spent time with the Blue Jays minor league team. An aviation man, he sets up the travel needs for professional athletes, as well as high-end luxury vacations. The man who loves to post Throwback Thursday pictures on Instagram, we welcome in Juan Rincon. What is going on?
Well, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me here. For the record, this is my first interview in English in a very long time. So yeah. Keep your fingers crossed that I got to do it real good. All right. But hey, I don't mess up.
Hey, your English is probably as good as ours.
It's better than ours.
I was going to say, I wouldn't have known that until you told me, but Juan, how are you and your family doing? I know we're kind of seeing the light at the end of the tunnel with COVID, but how have you guys, you know, been doing with all this?
No, we're doing good. Thanks God. We're doing great. You know, we've been healthy throughout all this time. It's been difficult for everybody, but, you know, we were able to walk it through. So we're good. Thanks God. We're good.
I love to hear that. And Juan, what I want to do is start off with your career before the big leagues. Now, you grew up in Venezuela and attended UE Instituto Cervantes in Zulia. Did I say that okay?
Yeah.
Oh, perfect. Now, unfortunately, for as broad as the internet is, I could not find your high school stats. Okay. But they must have been impressive for you to make it to the Twins organization 18 years
well,
old.
Well, you know, for a little bit of a history here, in South America, you don't play in high school. You know, you're lucky. In my case, I was lucky to finish up high school. And that's not too common nowadays with the way that, the international drafts are being handled. But I was able to finish up high school. But what you do in Zulia, in my hometown, is that you play a lot of little league. Little league is where you get exposed. So I was playing in this little league where, you know, a lot of guys, the most famous one, the latest one is, Carlos Gonzalez, you know, Cargo. Cargo used to play in the same team as a team that I came out. But a friend of mine that happened to be the catcher for a team said, listen, there's a guy that works for the Twins that would like to have three pitchers, third baseman, I think he said, and a catcher. Obviously, he needed a catcher because somebody had to catch those three guys that he wanted to see. And he said, well, I'm going to recommend you to him and for you to come to practice. And that Sunday that he set up the practice, Sunday, 2 o'clock, the guy didn't show up. So I was like, you know what? I remember talking to my mom in the kitchen. I said, you know, I'm done with baseball. I'm gonna focus in going to college. Going to college, I knew that my hopes to play professional ball were done at that point. If I crossed that bridge, I was done with that. And the guy called back and he said that he apologized, that he had to meet his boss or whatever it was, and that he was gonna be there next Sunday. Next Sunday came and he showed up and he said, you know what, I would like to invite you to the Twins Academy in the central part of the country. The only issue that we're going to have, and I'll tell you right away, is your height. You're not too tall for what they're looking for. Okay. So I took about, it was about 12-hour bus ride to this place where the academy used to be at. And the first thing that the guy told me, it was already like midnight because I spent the whole day traveling. The guy said to my face, listen, you're too short for what we're looking for. But since you're here, I'm not going to let you waste your trip. I'm going to let you practice here with the team. But for the record, we're not looking for guys like you. So we got taller pitchers here, blah, 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 blah. So I remember saying to myself, okay, I got it. I'm going to make you swallow your words. Don't worry about it. Long story short, 3 weeks later, back in those days, I don't know how it works right now with the visa, the working visa. But every organization had an amount of visa that you could bring players in every year. So the Twins, at that point, had one working visa left. So they had to make sure that whoever get that visa, it was going to be worth it, because you could be missing, you know, potential good players that you were not going to be able to sign later. So, the guy ended up signing me off. He offered me a job. He asked, to come here. When I first got here, the Twins wanted to release me because I was too short. You know, until they saw me throwing. So they said, well, you know, he has a good arm, and my velo was starting to pick up, and they let me stay that first year because of that. But they were going to release me out of spring training, my first spring training, because of my height.
Well, one, if it makes you feel better, I'm 5'5", and I've gotten told my entire life I'm too short. So I'm sure you're not 5'5", but.
No, I'm actually 5'11", you know, but.
That's too short? What?
They were looking for, I don't know, Shaquille O'Neal type of guys out of South America.
Oh, man. Well, I'm glad that they decided to take a chance on you, even though 5'11 is not too short. Now, you'd be starting off your career at the RK League, where in your first season you went 3-4 with a 3.07 ERA and 67.1 innings pitched. The following season, you'd be promoted to A-ball, then AA, A+, and eventually the majors. Now, in the minors, you were 45-34 with a 3.21 ERA over 645 innings. It appeared that you were destined as a starting pitcher. Did the Twins say why they had you pitching in relief?
You know what? They kept saying, for some reason, every single year, if you look at my stats in the minors, I was eating up a lot of innings. And I was a fastball cutter. A little slider it wasn't as good as it was when I got to the big leagues, but I was a slider and a decent changeup. I was eating a lot of innings in the minor leagues as a starter. So I thought that my shot was going to be as a starter. But the closer that I got to the big leagues, you know, AA, even AAA, they say that I was not going to pitch in the big leagues as a starter. Because they say that I didn't last too long in the games. I didn't know what they meant with that, because if you look at my stats, every single year I was top three, top five in innings pitch in the league. And in AAA, I only pitched there for 3 months in 2002, and I led the league in complete games. Think about that. But they thought that I was not going to be a good starter because of my secondary pitches. They say my changeup wasn't the greatest, that I needed to have. Three good pitches to be successful in the big leagues as a starter. But if you look at Carlos Silva's career, he only had two good pitches or one good pitch, and the other two pitches were decent. And, you know, I don't know. They told me that I was not going to be a good starter, so they sent me to the bullpen.
Interesting that they would do that and not even give you a chance to even just let it play out with your stuff.
I pitched three games. I started three games in the big leagues. One was in July 4th in 2002, July 4th, against Freddy Garcia at Seattle. And I pitched 6 2/3, and I gave up one run. Then I pitched four innings against Texas when Texas had, you know, A-Rod, Michael Young. We had all those studs, Pudge Rodriguez. I think King Caminiti was in that team. It was just a stupid team. And I pitched four innings. And then I pitched against Cleveland. Cleveland, it was a disaster. But other than that, I never had another chance.
Now, I want to backtrack a little bit because I want to go back to your debut. Because on June 7th, 2020, or 2001, you fulfilled the dream that many of us have when you made your major league debut against the Indians in relief when you threw one scoreless inning. But what were your thoughts leading up to that day? You know, were you nervous? Were you excited? Did the Twins let you know that you'd be debuting?
Nervous. I was very scared. After the game was over, I had to go back to the video room that they had at the Metrodome, and I asked the guy. I said, "Look, can I watch my outing?" And he gave me a tape, VHS tape. Okay, not a CD, not a memory card, nothing like that, just a tape. And I took it home, and I played. I remember playing it, trying to see if I could tell that I was shaking. While I was on the mound, I was shaking. I felt that my pants were going to come down, and I keep pulling my pants up, you know, my underwear pulling up. I felt that my socks were by my toes. It was a disaster, but it was a good experience. I will put it up with the birth of my son, you know, that type of experience, that type of, you know, the caliber.
So, Juan, I have two questions for you. So again, big Twins fan, as I talked about with you before we started recording. First question is more of just like a general question. Did you at any point try to pick the brains of all the pitchers that were on the staff or in the bullpen, like learning, you know, what you know, something from Joe Nathan, like one of his pitches, or talking to any of the starters like Carlos Silva or Johan Santos, trying to learn Johan's changeup? Was that any point where you kind of went to these guys to try to learn grips? Because right now in today's day and age, people are, you know, talking to Shane Bieber of the Cleveland Indians, and they're trying to learn. That's one of the things that Aaron Civale has been doing. Had you ever thought about talking with these guys to maybe expand your arsenal some?
Yes. And what was our question? You say you had two, right?
Oh, the second. I'll save the second one. It's not related.
Well, when I first made it to the big leagues, the first thing that I did, I remember Brad Rackey throwing a bullpen. Mm-hmm. Right. And I would go to the bullpen whenever he was throwing his bullpens or whenever he was warming up for the game to see the way he pitched, the way that he warmed up, the way that he went about his business, because he was at the time one of the best pitchers in the league. He was underrated, but you know, all the things that he contributed to the team. So I used to go to the bullpen to watch him throw because I wanted to learn their mechanics, their preparation, their thoughts about what they were doing. So it was not just about what pitch or how to grip it. It was more about the mental part of getting ready for the game. He said, I remember that it was actually a little bit of, I saw it as a little bit of luck. I said, well, I'm going to go and watch him throw and I'm going to try to simulate the way that he throws in the bullpen. And I'm going to try to implement it on the mound while the game was going on. And it actually worked because at some point I felt that I had control. I used to talk a lot with Eddie Guardado and LaTroy Hawkins.
Eddie Guardado.
Yeah.
Everyday Eddie.
Everyday Eddie. Yeah. I used to pick their brains, you know, about certain situations, about approaches. How can I deal with this? How can I deal with that? Another guy that I used to talk a lot, especially my first year that I got there, it was Bobby Wells. Mm-hmm. You know, old guy that was there for a long time. So I wanted to pick their brains about situation, preparation. It was more of the mental part more than grips and stuff. So, Carlos had a real good two seam. So I tried to work it out, but for him it was so easy. So it was Santana's changeup. So one thing that I learned, I was listening to Mariano the way that he threw his cutter. And he happens to be talking to somebody, and I was just around, and I was able to pick up, you know, a thing or two about his cutter, and that's when my my fastball started to cut a little bit more, and that's why I was so effective, you know, through those 4 years, because I was able to move the ball with a little bit of action towards the outside part of the plate.
Yeah, and so this kind of leads into my second question I wanted to ask you. So from 2004 to 2006, you were, you know, crushing it in the Twins bullpen. You actually were third, sixth, and second in the American League in games played amongst pitchers during those three seasons. So you were getting it done. Good stuff. Obviously, again, your strikeouts during that time, your strikeouts per nine were over 11. Over nine, and then just under eight, so healthy strikeout numbers. But Juan, we've known each other now for maybe about almost a half an hour, so I feel like we're friends in a sense now. So I have to be honest with you. I was not going to hide this from you.
Okay.
During your last year with the Twins in 2007, it definitely went downhill, and I definitely might have said a couple times on my TV when you came in the game that you might be blowing it.
It's not. I mean, the numbers are there. There's, you know, cannot hide from the internet.
Yeah, I mean, so. I just want to be honest with you because I you're such a great guy, and I definitely was like, I don't know what I was kind of curious if you knew what happened, why kind of the wheels fell off at that.
Yeah,
point.
Yeah, I know what happened, and I always have no shame in talking about it. You know, unfortunately, some guys and I'm gonna say some guys, but the organization put me in a tough situation. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't want to trade me. Going into 2006, that we went into the playoff with Oakland, right? Right before the playoffs started, they told me that I was not the eighth inning man, that I was gonna be in the mix with Jesse Crane and Neshek and Guerrier and all that. And I really found it very offensive. My numbers were good as a year before. Yes, I didn't have that many strikeouts, but, you know, I got the job done. My ERA was lower. Mm-hmm. You know, I threw the same amount of innings. It was just, they were trying to control my salary, you know, and they were putting me in situations where, you know, I was no user. I was pitching in, I would have found myself pitching in, 10 run difference, like 10 nothing in the third inning, they would have bring me in, you know, things like that. So they started kicking into my confidence, and my confidence level just went down, completely down. And they didn't want to trade me. Like I said at the beginning, we asked to be traded, and that's when the Mutt Garza and, somebody else got traded to Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay sent
Delmon Young.
Yes,
I was. But you know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I talked to Matt Garza like 3 weeks ago, and he said similar things about the organization, like that they were not willing to trade him, and then that they wanted to use him in a certain way that he wasn't comfortable with, and he had to prove them wrong in the minors. Basically let him start and let him throw the pitches that he wanted to throw. He wanted to throw heavy fastballs, and they wanted him to throw more breaking stuff. So it's kind of interesting that you're kind of the second Twins pitcher around that time that's talking about their approach to how they want to use you and not letting you. It didn't sound like that they were and I know that was around like the Bill Smith transition too. It's very interesting that you've had some problems with when you were playing with them at that time.
Well, you know, I messed up my confidence. There's nothing else to hide or nothing else or to say or not even to be ashamed of. I had to even talk to, when I went to Cleveland, I was able to talk to it's not a psychiatrist, not a psychologist, but it's more sport orientated guy. And, my numbers with Cleveland were a little better. But my last two outings, I was so tired that I even felt that I needed Tommy Young because my elbow was just killing me. And I gave up a lot of runs, and the numbers, they don't look that good, but they were actually good. And this guy just helped me so much in the mental part that I was so happy. I was actually happy to go back and play baseball. In Minnesota, at that point, I was just done with the team, mentally done with the team. I was, like I said, I was put in a bad situations. We requested to be traded a couple times. They say that they were not going to trade me because I was their insurance core in case that their, you know, Nishak, Jesse, and Guerrier would have failed. That was their insurance core. So I was playing, I was going back to my 2002, 2003 year where mm-hmm. I was at the mop-up guy. You know, when I was all those years, it was the go-to guy. They removed me because they told me I was going to make too much money. And when the money that they were going to pay me, they could pay all those three guys for the same, outcome. So, that's the story. And, I'm not ashamed to say or admit it.
I'm team Walmer and Cone right now. I'm team Walmer and Cone.
I am too. And
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And I don't want to gloss over the negative stuff with the Twins, because over those 8 seasons, you'd appear in 386 games with a 30-26 record and a 3.69 ERA, mostly in a relief role. As mentioned, yeah. You'd have a stint with the Indians, Tigers, Rockies, Dodgers, and Angels before retiring in 2012. But as mentioned in the intro, you were also the pitching coach for the Gulf Coast Blue Jays for the 2016 season. And now you're in the private aviation business. And I think many of us are not familiar with the logistics of it. So how did you get into it, and what's your job like?
Well, just before we go to that subject, I wanted to say the Twins and Minnesota, overall it means so much to me, to my family. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a team that, gave me the opportunity to play professional baseball, right? It was a team that I made it to the big leagues with. I got married and I went to Minnesota right away. My son, my first kid, was born in Minnesota. So I have so many good memories that, yeah, that part is just the bad part of the story. But, you know, if I could have lived in Minnesota, I wouldn't doubt it. It's just how much I love Minnesota and what it represents to my family. It's just want to leave it there. But
Juan, I also want to say that with you and with Matt, like I definitely don't want to make it seem like you guys are attacking them. I think it's just frustrating with how it handles it. And I definitely get, you know, where you guys are coming from with the love for the organization too. And I didn't
want to make you feel like it was a little different. You know, I was the one that the most interested person that would have won that deal a little different. But it's the way it's a business. And you don't see it at the time, but it's just a business like mm-hmm. any other. You get cows, and the cow's old, you send it to the slaughterhouse. It's just the way it is. You know, you get old, they get you out. That's it. No, it's just the way it is. It's just people don't, you know, they put their teams between their chest and the bag, and, oh, you know, my team, but it's not the way it works. It's not real life. I can tell you firsthand that it's not the way it works. But going to the to your question about the private aviation. So one day I was in Arizona with I don't know if it was Dodgers or Anaheim, right? And Benji Molina threw a party at his house. So I went over there, and this financial advisor from Minnesota happens to be there. And he was talking to this guy, this Colombian guy. And he introduced me to the guy. He said, oh, yeah, I do private aviation. I have a private aviation company. Whenever you retire, let me know and we can talk about it. Because I hear, you know, I've been asking for somebody to do that kind of job for the company in baseball. So whenever you retire, if you want to talk about it, give me a call. So I was like, whatever, I'm not retiring anytime soon. So that was in 2011 or 12. 3 years later, I'm done with baseball, right? I went to independent ball. I played winter ball, all that kind of stuff. My shoulder gave up, and I said, I'm not going to play anymore. So one day, I'm just sitting at home, and I get a phone call from the guy. Hey, I hear that you, the guy had, Alexa or something like that at his house, and he overheard what I was saying about retiring. Mm-hmm. So he called me, and he said, would you be interested in coming to the office and talk about it? So long story short, that's how I end up doing the private aviation. I did it for a year, right? I kind of didn't like it because I had to go to an office every single day. And I keep telling him that if he wanted to the business to grow, I had to go out and try to get players. And the only way to get the players, he was inviting practice. You know, trying to meet face to face with them. They don't pick up the phone. They don't respond text messages. They definitely don't respond emails. So the guy wanted to do emails and phone calls at 8 a.m. and say, dude, you're not going to get any business. You do it this way. You're not dealing with CEOs that have 3 secretaries and 1 assistant. That it doesn't work like that.
I know that feeling.
So I end up going, I got a phone call from a friend of mine that works with the Blue Jays. And he said, hey, Juan, you know, I'm talking here with, Sal Fasano. That Sal Fasano was, one of the catchers that was in Cleveland. And then when I signed with the Rockies, I signed with the Rockies because of him. When I saw that he was in the Rockies, AAA, I ended up signing with the Rockies because I knew that if he was my catcher, I was going to make it back to the big leagues. So he called me and they said, hey, they're looking for a pitching coach. They got 2 openings, one in rookie ball, the other one in Florida State that he used to be the level below AA. So they called me. I talked to them. I drove all the way to Tampa to have a face-to-face conversation with them. And then I had another conversation over the phone and I decided to take the job, right? I didn't really quit the private aviation because a lot of people were still calling me for prices. So what I did was that I gathered all the information that I needed. I sent it to the office. They worked it and they sent it to the player. So, that year, I was actually on the way home from a game, and I was just thinking about, you know, private aviation, all that stuff. And then I get a phone call from the same guy, from the owner, and I got, I need to talk to you. Of course, I cannot talk to the guy because I was in the bus and I had the manager, the hitting coach, the strength conditioning trainer next to me. I said, well, you know, I'm not gonna talk to you right now. Let me get home and I give you a call. So the guy made a real good offer that I cannot turn down, and I ended up deciding to come back, quit the job with the Blue Jays. And I decided to pursue it again but now it's under my terms. The way that I think it works.
Yeah, you tell I love it. You tell corporate America how it is. They don't tell you how it is, right?
Well, in baseball, it's a little different. It's not just like, you know, yeah, they probably have studied the market and how CEOs and rich people work. But athletes and baseball players in particular, they're different breed. They just have a lot of money. They don't trust too many people. They don't have an assistant or, you know, the agents. They're the ones that work their needs. So it's real hard to get in, but once you're in, you gain the trust of the players and they really trust you, you know, because they're looking for somebody that's going to trust them, that is not going to steal their money.
Yeah. You know, wise words from...
Say that again?
I was going to say wise words from Juan Rincon. Juan, we don't want to take up too much of your time here. What we like to do is get our athletes out of here with a little triple play rapid fire. Some this or that questions. Are you down?
Okay.
Yeah. You probably haven't been asked some of these before. Just a heads up. All
okay,
right. Would you rather get a save with 0 strikeouts or get a hold with three strikeouts?
A hold.
Okay.
Ooh.
I love it.
To say that. I like it.
Well, yeah. I was a setup man. I was not a closer. So I used to get paid to get holds. No, that was Nathan's job, not my job.
All right. Would you rather make an all-star appearance or win the Behringer Trophy? And I looked that up. It's one of the most prestigious flight awards. It's the longest distance soaring flight other than those flown at the U.S. National Contest.
But what's that award again?
The Behringer Trophy. Apparently, it's just one of the top ones in the aviation industry.
No, forget about that. I wanted to go to the All-Star game.
Okay, all right. Well, I didn't even need to say the second part.
For some reason, 2002, I mean, 4, 5, and 6, my ERA was almost 1, and I never made it to the All-Star game.
All right. Well, we're right now
because they probably gave it to Nathan because they were. I feel like holds weren't recognized as much as they are now.
Yeah, setupments were not. We were not even paid good, and with all the theater work that we had to do, that's all right. I got to play in the big leagues. Forget about that.
All right, there we go. This one isn't MLB related. Okay. No social media for a month, or you can't eat at your favorite restaurant for 3 months.
No, I eat. Anytime at my favorite restaurant, I give up social media. Okay. Not a big deal to me.
No, no throwback Thursdays for a month, my man.
Nah, it's all right.
Would you rather
I don't post. I don't know what you were looking at, but I don't post that many stuff.
My stalking.
I'll say this. I'll do my stalking to the players to see who flies private. Yeah.
So you do the same thing I do.
Fire up the business, you know?
So there you go.
Social media is actually good because if I see a tail number, I can look it up and see who they fly with and all that kind of stuff.
Well, for that month, you won't be doing it because you'll be eating at your favorite restaurant instead.
I would just get fat. That's it. Don't worry about it.
Would you rather be stuck in an elevator for an hour or a ski lift for an hour?
What?
Would you rather be stuck in an elevator for an hour or a ski lift for an hour?
What is a ski lift?
Like when you go up, when you ride the thing up to the slopes?
No. I say a ski lift. Okay. The other day, the elevator got stuck, and I felt that I was a little claustrophobic. Okay. Even though that I don't think that I am, but at that point, I thought, like, wow, you know, six people in this thing, and I'm stuck with this. I didn't feel good, so I probably would take the ski lift.
Would you rather be the best in the world at one thing or good at everything?
No, I would want to be the best at one thing in the world.
Okay. All right.
Getting what is your?
There we go. That holds. What is your favorite candy?
I'm not a candy guy, but if I would have to choose, it would be chocolate.
Okay. Good call.
Man of my own heart. I like it.
Yeah, I'm not a candy guy. For me, candy, you can throw candy away at home. It's not going to do anything.
All right,
for me.
Perfect.
I'm not fat because of candy. I can tell you that.
Nah, you're more accomplished than David and I will ever be combined. That we like to dwell on the positives. Would you rather never lose your phone again or never lose your keys again?
No, I would rather lose my keys, not my phone. I make a living with my phone.
That's true.
Yeah, but don't you have to drive to the office now?
No, I work from home.
Hey, there we go. Love it. All right, we got a few left. Would you rather be born without knees or without elbows?
Oh my God. No, I would rather to be born without knees.
Okay. Yeah, I figure.
At least you can grab. You can grab things with your hand.
You know? I mean, then if you don't have the knees, you'll actually be short. You won't be baseball short.
Yeah. So,
all right.
I would have given it to the Twins on that one.
The last two. And this one I really want.
I can't wait to hear your answer on this one.
Do you remember the words for the Twins Ode to Joy commercial?
The one that we were singing?
Yes.
No, I don't remember. I mean, I know that we were singing, but I don't remember.
What was his part? It was, 3-2 count.
We love this slider.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I think corners of the dish. Good controlling. He's got nasty weef and hitters as you wish.
Juan, take it away. You remember it.
When they're swinging, heat we're bringing. You need outs, we get you more. Sidearm slinging, we are singing. I come in and close the door.
Listen.
The only one I knew was Nathan at the end.
And I closed the door. I remember that one, yeah. Now, even if I would have remembered, you wouldn't have made me sing that time.
It's all right. We sang it. You had.
At least you did it better than me. I can tell you that.
It's funny because the only reason he knows the song is because I was such a diehard that I literally like played all the commercials on my computer. I like had the game days on my computer, like message. I was on like the message boards on the site. Like I was definitely very like obsessed with you guys when I was growing up. So like,
but my favorite one is the one where, Santana is driving and always.
Yes, with Nathan.
About on up, yeah. That one. That was my favorite one. Oh,
that one was hilarious. And
that was a good one. And the one that Meek, Dyer, and Santana is actually
the magic show.
Funny because we cut him in half, and the kid just goes like pass out in the middle. It was actually good. That was a good one.
I love those commercials.
Yeah. Oh man,
I don't know if they're still making them.
They wish they still had them like on the site or something or like YouTube. I would love to watch those back.
They have the Johan Santana, Joe Nathan, and the twins one of the bullpen on YouTube. Couldn't find the Michael Kadire one, unfortunately.
Oh,
okay. I'll send it to you.
Yes.
Perfect. So, Juan, this is the last one. What do you think you can throw right now?
Me?
Yeah.
Like Vila wise?
Yeah.
Say 80, 85, no more than that.
Wow.
That's still really good.
Yeah.
85.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. I don't doubt it, but my arm is just done. It's not going to be for too many pitches, I can tell you that.
He says it so casually that he's part of the 80 poo crew.
80, 85, like, you could still get some hitters out with that. I'll put you in for a batter and then.
No, if you put me with a batter, you better put the net in front of me so I can hit.
Well,
I don't know if I'm going to be able to get out of the way.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
I trust your fielding. I think you could.
Yeah, it was good, actually. I took pride on my defense. Well, the Twins were real good at it. You know,
the little piranhas and everything.
Yeah, man. Right now, you watch games and you are like, wow, it's so unbelievable. This guy cannot execute a regular play that you should have practiced that in spring training every single day.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we were so good. We couldn't hit the ball that much, for average. But we were really good on defense.
Well, Juan, we really appreciate you joining us. And if you want to follow him on Instagram, which he's not taking a month break from, it's one ring cone 39. Juan, before we get out of here, is there anything that you want to plug to the audience where they can find you that's not on social media, anything you're working on?
No, right now I'm not a big social media guy. I don't have Facebook or Twitter. I got my own issues with Instagram. That's about it. No issues, but I'm good. I'm good enough with Instagram. So...
Well,
I'm very happy, like I say, my first